for those who love movies and love the experience of going out to their local cinema, the last few decades has been a mixed bag. While El Paso has more movie screens than ever, the range of films being projected has not expanded much, and the cinema experience is still largely based on a business model that's decades old. A new cinema, now under construction, hopes to challenge that status quo. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The new Alamo Drafthouse Cinema going up on El Paso's Central West Side has been cause for some excitement among the area's movie-going public. To discuss the status of the project and what's in store for area cinephiles, I'm happy to have on the program today Neil Billingsley Michelson, President and CEO of Houston-based Triple Tap Ventures, and Robert Saucedo, Triple Tap's Programming Director. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Now, Neil, you've been on the show before, but Robert, you're new to us. I'm really looking forward to hearing about some of the programming that's coming for El Paso. But I wanted to start with maybe clarifying some things. As I understand it, Alamo Drafthouse, which began in and around Austin and really made a name for itself in Central Texas, in recent years has been franchising itself around the country. And I guess Triple Tap Ventures out of Houston, you've got the licensing for a number of regions, including West Texas, I presume?
Yeah, that's right. Our company's based in Houston. We have the Houston market, which is a big market for us, and we're developing here. And then almost 2 years ago, we opened up an Alamo in Lubbock, and we've been working on our El Paso project for quite some time, and we'll open that in early summer of next year. So we basically, the way we view our territory and our territories is West Texas and Houston.
Mm-hmm. Do you have plans to expand into other states over time?
From time to time we've looked, but we've got a lot on our plate right now. And since we started in late 2009 as a franchisee, the whole Alamo system has grown from,
yes,
I think it was just about 10 screens or maybe eight locations to now 20 locations in probably a half dozen states. So it's been great to be a part of that growth.
Well, it's a rare thing for El Paso to get a new movie theater chain, and I think that's part of the excitement. The other part is people have become aware of what Alamo stands for, and we'll get to that in a minute. But when you decide to move into a particular market, what are some of the metrics you're looking for to decide that's a place ripe for an Alamo Drafthouse?
Well, it's interesting because each market that we're participating in, and if you looked across the board at the Alamos, there's no sort of one cookie cutter metric, or you can't put it into a model and say this would be a perfect Alamo market. I think, though, one common theme is a love of film and a strong movie-going population. So if you look at the number of screens in El Paso, It's actually outsized for the population if you look at just straight census demographics, and a lot of that obviously has to do with the nature of El Paso and how the whole trade area is much bigger than just the city of El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, going into El Paso was very much, you get confidence based on the grosses and the growth of moviegoership in the city, and people in El Paso, you can tell, love the movies. They love new movies, and the Plaza Classic has been a successful festival. They love old movies and different kinds. So for us, that was the first checkbox. And then the second thing is movie theater needs to be on a good piece of real estate, for lack of a better term. And we're a part of an amazing project from our view and our partner's view in Montecito, and think, you just couldn't have a better spot for a movie theater in El Paso. And also, in a way, leaving expansion too, when we're successful and want to expand, could always look at East El Paso as well. So,
oh, fantastic. So there might be a second Alamo here at some point.
Who knows? So we'll hope to be there.
So, Robert, I want to ask you, as programming director, when you look at a market, are you trying to do you have to figure out how many screens is about the right size, the fit, or is there a standard model that you go for as far as a minimum number of screens that kind of gives you the critical mass you need to program?
Sure. There's really a standard model, and the way the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema works, for those who aren't familiar with the concept, is that in addition to being a movie theater, we're also a full-service restaurant and bar. And so our guests can come into our theater and order from their seats anything from our menu, includes foods such as pizzas and burgers and salads and all kinds of great entrees to a wide array of craft beers and cocktails. And so because of that service aspect of the model, you know, we're really limited on the amount of screens and the size of the screens that we can have. The Alamo does not work really as a megaplex and still allow us to offer the quality of service that we pride ourselves on offering our guests. You know, once you get above a certain amount of guests all watching a movie at the same time and ordering food at the same time, it makes it hard because we cook all of our food fresh to order. It's not frozen. It's not pre-made. It's when you place an order for a burger, your burger gets made right then and there. With that in mind, we try to keep our theaters relatively small when compared to some of the bigger megaplexes out there in the country. But, you know, they're the right size for the Alamo, and we always try to have a wide array of screens available to us with various sizes. We're going to have giant screens, great for blockbusters like the new Star Wars or superhero film that are going to be coming down the road, to smaller screening rooms that I'm personally really excited about. These are 30-seat theaters that are perfect for bringing some high-quality independent films to El Paso, films that maybe would not have been shown anywhere else in the city, but because we're able to have a 30-seat theater that we can dedicate to them, we're able to roll the dice and not take too big of a risk on a title that's maybe more adventurous or more challenging than you know, what else Hollywood is giving to us at the moment.
That going to more of a boutique cinema attitude to, as you say, gives you a lot of flexibility. And this is a market that remarkably for decades has independent and art house cinema and foreign cinema has been very hard to penetrate. And I love the idea that you're going to have some smaller screens that, as you say, from an economic model point of view, allow you to bring in some of these films that, frankly, cinephiles in the area have probably been reading about in national media and that might be getting a lot of buzz, but we can't ever see here.
Yeah, we're definitely committed to bringing in that type of film.
So what's the total number of screens in this new cinema you're building?
It'll have 8 screens, and total seats will be close to 900.
So for people who have not ventured to Austin or to an Alamo Drafthouse or to a city with an Alamo Drafthouse, just to make it clear, that while a lot of cinemas are going to an expanded concession menu, it's still you walk up to a concession bar and buy your nachos or your hamburger or whatever, but the difference with Alamo is that you have full bar and restaurant wait service right in the theater. You have fewer seats that allow the waiters to move around, and you can actually dine right there and have your food brought to you fresh.
That's right. It's all waiter waitress service at your seat. We're going to have, you know, there is no concession bar in our building. We'll have a dedicated bar space called the Glass Half Full, which people can go to, you know, as part of a movie going experience or just completely separate from it. But you basically sit down, menus are right on the tape underneath your table. There's little LED lights so you can read them, and servers, we basically train them and they commit to being quote unquote ninjas in the theater for silent service so that when you're watching the movie, they don't disturb you and write your orders down. Everything gets taken right at your seat and delivered to your seat and settle your bill right at your seat.
It is a bit amazing to me that it has taken this long for models like this to pop up, and it's so refreshing. But watching the theater business for decades now, as the window compresses between when a first-run film hits a theater and you can watch it on various streaming services or online or on your phone or at your house, and theater ticket sales have gone down, most of the big chains have not really adopted yet or evolved to consider this a value-added, experience-driven market. They still just want to sell expensive popcorn and try to put butts in seats with big Hollywood blockbusters. But I presume at the heart of Alamo's success around the country is they recognized early on that you've got to give people a reason to come out, the best in projection, the best in sound quality, great food, and it's a complete package. You're not just selling the movie, you're selling an experience.
That's right. That really is true, and it's a holistic approach to the entire experience from the moment, you know, really from the moment a guest sees the building in terms of our architecture design. Once you come in the lobby, what the lobby's like, the seat, the comfort, the lighting, the training of the servers to not disturb, the quality of the food with virtually everything, you know, made from scratch in the back, and then, you know, our sound, we're not going to have a huge, one of the big ultra large format screens, but everything that we do in terms of our projectors, we're committed to Sony to deliver 4K content as much as possible with all Sony equipment. Seats that, you know, where a lot of big box theaters, you can sit in the front row and virtually touch the screen or the masking, mm-hmm. we rip out probably the equivalent of about 4 or 5 rows of traditional movie theater seats, so that even if you're sitting on the end of what is our front row, it's still a good seat. So there's a total commitment from the brand, and really started with Tim League, who founded it, for that cinema going experience. And we've done well and won a lot of awards and third party accommodations as a result.
So, Robert, one of the things I think about when I hear the words Alamo Drafthouse is not just great projection and sound and experience, viewing experience, but Alamo has really made a name for itself for special programming. It often spotlights regional work, indie and art house film. Alamo Drafthouse in Austin actually has its own Drafthouse Films division now, which is distributing indie films. They do these package sing-alongs and things. Do you anticipate a lot of those kind of special programs mixed in with the big first run titles?
Yes, of course. So the programming department across the Alamo system nationwide has really grown in exciting ways in the last couple of years. As the Alamo brand has expanded across the country, we've gone from a small group of programmers in Austin who, pick what titles are shown at every theater, to a giant group of really creative minds from across the country who collaborate on a weekly basis to come up with some really fun and exciting things to bring to our theaters. So there's a national programming packet that's put together every month that includes a really amazing Alamo experiences that you're going to get whether you're living in El Paso or Houston or Kalamazoo. You're going to get things like quote-alongs and sing-alongs. Those are great interactive experiences of popular movies such as, Little Shop of Horrors or the Rocky Horror Picture Show or Elf. It's a great way to experience a movie that you know and love and have all the lines memorized. You can actually kind of immerse yourself in that experience by quoting along with the film. You're given props and there's games and there's all kinds of really great elements that add to the viewing experience. We have sing-alongs, which are essentially just dance parties in the movie theater. You know, everything from 80s night to a Taylor Swift sing-along that covers the entire career of the singer, from her roots as a country artist to her more modern pop stuff. We also have great genre stuff. So if you're a fan of horror, of science fiction, of romance, girly night chick flicks, or independent film, exciting cutting-edge foreign films, we have all these great elements that are packaged together and are given as opportunities and options to bring to our local market. In addition to that, one of the very important things to me about the Alamo Drafthouse experience is making sure each theater is a reflection of the community that it's in. As we mentioned earlier, I'm based out of Houston, and so it's hard for me to know intrinsically what El Paso wants to see in their movie theater. And so that's why it's very important that we have a local creative person who's based out of El Paso, that's the face of our theater, that's interacting with our guests, that's talking to them, that's gathering all this great information about what El Paso loves and what movies they are excited for and what events they want to see come down to their theater. And so one of the very first things that we do before we open the theater is we find and locate a creative manager for the market. And so we've been chatting with so many great, qualified, talented film lovers in El Paso. I'm really excited. These interviews I've been doing over the past couple of weeks have made me really passionate about what El Paso can be and what it can provide for the community. I mean, if the small sampling of film lovers is a reflection of the community, El Paso is full of great film buffs. Hopefully, we're going to find a candidate within the next week or two, lock them down, bring them to Houston to get trained and immersed into the Alamo culture. And by the time El Paso is open, this creative associate, creative manager is going to be the face of the brand in El Paso, and they're going to help really drive what our programming looks like in the city.
And folks can also apply for a range of other job positions there. If they go to your Facebook page, they'll see those postings and how to get a hold of you. Neil, I want to wrap up by mentioning that another thing that Alamo does is it has an interesting incentive program for guests. I think you call it the Victory Program.
Yeah, it's Alamo Victory. It was launched a couple years ago, and one of the things we do with it is send out our newsletters and let everyone know about the upcoming events. But Robert and the entire sort of social media team and the creative team also creates a bunch of events that are exclusive only to Victory members. Robert, you can kind of talk about some of the different levels and why it's helpful to be a member of that.
Sure. So you can join our Victory program by going to our website at drafthouse.com/victory. And Victory is our rewards program. It's also, you know, our way of staying in touch with our guests about what's coming to our theater. So we send out a weekly newsletter that covers all kinds of really fun events and films that we're bringing to our theater. But our main objective with Victory is to surprise and delight our audience members with all kinds of really great surprises. So everything from, you know, sneak previews of upcoming films to early access to films before they're released to the public. We do Victory-only screens, classic movies and independent films that are only available to attend if you're a Victory member. We have enhanced access. So, like, for example, if we have a special guest coming down to our theater, we'll invite our top Victory members, which are called Commandants, to come down and meet that guest, maybe at a private meet and greet or a little more intimate encounter before the event. We'll have parties for our top Victory members. People will get various food and beverage offers as they progress through the ranks. And you progress through the ranks by going to movies. So the more movies you watch, the higher rank you are, the more access you get to our theater. Basically, we want to turn going to the movie into a community experience, and part of that is figuring out who the top members of that community are and making sure that they have great access to what makes the Alamo Drafthouse special.
Neil, I know you don't want to get pinned down to a hard opening date, but is it safe to say that El Pasoans will be able to see most of next summer's big tentpole films there at the Alamo Drafthouse?
Yeah, that is our goal, and we're talking early summer, but we really want to make sure we can deliver as many of those summer, quote-unquote, tentpoles, as you put, to El Paso, as well some of our great programming. So for now, early summer, I think as we get a little closer on the construction, we'll have some more details and obviously share those, but things are moving along really great now, and we've got a great GC there that's working with us, and everything's finally coming together after some frustrating delays for us, and I'm sure a number of your listeners too, but we'll be open soon, sooner than we all think, actually.
It's great to drive by the progress every day. Best of luck to you both on putting together the team and finishing construction. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I've been discussing the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, now under construction on El Paso's west side, with Neil Billingsley Michelson, president and CEO of Triple Tap Ventures, and Robert Saucedo, programming director for Triple Tap's Alamo Drafthouse Cinemas. To stay up to date on progress of El Paso's first Alamo Drafthouse, join their Facebook page or log on to drafthouse.com/El Paso. A final program note, my own film series, The Film Salon, will screen the 1973 French film Day for Night, directed by acclaimed filmmaker François Truffaut. The film is a wonderful evocation of the filmmaking process, with Truffaut himself stepping in front of the camera to play a film director juggling the demands of his latest production. Day for Night screens tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Trinity First United Methodist Church at 801 North Mesa, and admission is free. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.